All right. Okay. Looks like we're recording. Yes. Finally. Okay. There it goes. Yeah. Okay. I got it working. All right. Sweet. So we don't have a whole lot of time for quick takes today because I'm trying to get to the movies tonight to see Hereditary with Christina.
Oh, good luck, man.
What do you mean, good luck?
You don't know about that movie?
No.
What's going on? I hear it's rough.
What? Like hard to, like scary?
Like, yeah, it's terrifying.
Good, that's what we want.
Ugh, yeah, have fun with that.
It's a day-night movie. No, I love that shit. Me and Christina have been watching scary movies since the beginning. There's this. It was funny because our first Halloween together, Christina wanted to watch. She wanted to watch a horror movie, and I was like, "What? You're into horror? You don't seem to be the type to be into horror movies." She's like, "Yeah, I am, but not like unoriginal ones. Nothing derivative, right? It's got to be unique, interesting." It's like, all right, so we looked around. We found this movie, Devil, which I don't know if you heard about, but it's.
Yeah, I remember Devil. That's the elevator movie, right?
Right, the elevator movie, somebody's the devil, right? This is the worst. Yeah. Bad sign. It was 70 minutes long, so bad sign, right?
Yeah.
And these are the 70 minutes they kept. So at the end of it, I was like, oh, that sucked. That was really bad. I'm sorry. And I looked at her, and she was like, why does she? She's frozen in horror. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, how are you scared of this? This is just a whatever movie. She's like, well, I didn't want to tell you that I was scared because I knew you wouldn't watch one if I was afraid. And I was like, you're right, I wouldn't have watched one, but now I got a taste for it. So we got to watch the scariest movie I can think of, which was The Conjuring. And she had nightmares for days. But she's addicted to scary movies now. It's like spicy food. She wants the scarier, the better. She's super obsessed with it.
So I've heard two things about this movie. I've heard some people say it was bullshit and they walked out. And then I've heard other people say it's the most terrifying movie they've ever seen.
I don't know.
Please text me once y'all are done with the movie.
You got it. You got it. Smoke my guns. I kill your people. I stand and do it. Smoke my crack. I kill your baby. They stand and do it. All right, well, speaking of terrifying, let's just jump right into our first conversation.
Okay.
We were going to do this. So, heads up, people listening, this is our 4th of July pod. We're doing it early. We're going to do our worst president's power rankings, which is a shout out to our first episode. We'll explain that when we get there. And we're going to pick a new national anthem, and that was going to be our 4th of July pod. We moved it up because of what's in the news these days, and we thought we had to comment on it directly and not wait. Even though after we made that decision, so much has changed. But that is, of course, the family separation stuff happening at the border with the Trump administration and all that. So, you know, obviously we have a lot to say, but Joe, you really wanted to talk about this, so why don't you get us started?
I don't think there's much to say, because now the conversation is dwarfed to, like, can Sarah Huckabee Sanders eat at a restaurant? Just the story has gotten so out of hand in the last week. I think we've lost sight of why this is awful, and it's because the Trump administration has decided that people who do legally seek asylum go to a port of entry, can't go to that port of entry, then thus have to enter the country illegally through the border, which is a misdemeanor, and that misdemeanor, they are imprisoning the adults and sending the children to what they call fun camps, which is really just prisons for children, with no regard for ever reconciling these families. I'm amazed at how many people are defending this. I'm not amazed that Fox is defending it at all, but I'm just amazed as just how many people, like, they're okay with this. That's the most upsetting thing. This story, like no other story, has made me physically ill.
Right.
I've tried to avoid the internet because of it, because every day I'm looking at my phone and I'm just like, is this shit over? Is this shit over? Have we decided we're better than this? And it's no. Like, I've donated money to Raises Texas. Am I saying it right? It's Raises, or is it Races Texas? Because that's how it spells out, and it's kind of perfect.
Yeah, it's Races. Yeah.
Yeah. But just this is unreal. This is actually what I thought would happen, and I'm terrified that it's actually happened, because what comes next is more frightening.
Well, if history plays out the way it normally does, hopefully we're paying attention finally. I'm not, I guess I don't know how to say this. I wasn't shocked. I was, when I found out, I was like, yeah, of course they are.
Yeah.
This is America. We've always done this. We separated children from their parents when we bought them as slaves. We separated Native American children when we forced them to go to Christian education camps. We separated fathers from their families when we refused to allow Chinese labor to bring their families. We separated Japanese American internees when we incarcerated young men who refused to fight for the United States government. That's a sort of forgotten element of the internment. Men of a fighting age who refused to enter the draft were just put in jail. So they were separated out of the camps and put into prison. So even worse, right?
Yeah.
And now we're dividing up Latino families, right? The one constant in all this is these are brown families, which is why you said, like, you were surprised how many people care. I wasn't at all. Like, now, most polls will show that America generally is against family separation, about two to one. But when you correct for Republicans, it's 50-50. It's heading slightly in the direction of pro. And that's not surprising to me. That's been the part of your racism for 30 years now. Right? And when I say racism, I don't mean like prejudicial attitudes. In that sense, that's every party for the entire history of America. But I mean specifically targeting communities of color. The one sort of exception is Ronald Reagan giving amnesty to undocumented immigrants in the 80s, but that was folding under pressure from the Catholic Church. It's not like...
And he also began the welfare attack with the... He started the welfare queen thing. So, yeah, he's also... He was really good at going into racial resentments.
Oh, yeah. He was Willie Horton ads, and he did he escalated the minimum sentences problem we have now, which is, again, further escalated with Bill Clinton later.
War on drugs, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah. The war on drugs that we know about was really Reagan, right?
Yeah. So Nancy Reagan was the voice of DARE.
Right, exactly. Like, it starts with Nixon, but Nixon's was actually pretty progressive, and it was kept that way by Carter. It wasn't until Reagan showed up that he needed a racial boogeyman, right?
Yeah.
So this has been going on since and forever. And, you know, and Trump wants to say that this is sort of, you know, the Democrats' fault in some ways. And I don't want to give too much credence to that because he's just passing the buck, right? He's just, you know, passing the blame on someone else. But he's not wrong in the sense that it was the Clinton era immigration enforcement laws that put us on the trajectory we are now, right? Yeah. And it was exacerbated by Bush, who broke every record for amount of people deported. Then it was broken again by Barack Obama for how many people deported. And nobody gave a shit. And people knew back then. Some people, that's so passive-aggressive of me to say because I mean me. But other people, too, have been yelling about this since at least 2013, 2014.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's been like a personal bugaboo of mine forever, yeah. Right?
There's a great Obama quote where he pretty much says the same shit Trump's saying now.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I saw that then. Hillary Clinton, she also advocated when minors came alone of not trying to reunite them with their parents in the country, of sending them back and keeping them apart. So nobody had a problem when she did it. Now they're seeing it. You know, it's not a hypothetical. Barack was also good about keeping it hush-hush, right? He had his DACA publicity out there. I'm getting into my worst president's power rankings. I'm going to speed up. This has been the trajectory we've been on forever. This is who America is. This is not an aberration. This is who we really are in this moment. We've revealed ourselves. And that's just the truth. I mean, I could give you any number of examples, but it's not like we stopped doing it, really. Those families maybe come together, but they're still going to be detained indefinitely. They're just letting them share
20 days. They get 20 days.
That's not... I mean, who's checking?
Yeah.
Who's going to check in? In 20 days, we're going to be bitching about, I don't know.
These people are going to be held way longer than 20 days.
Yeah, like, yeah. No. They're definitely not going to be... Yeah, they're going to be held indefinitely. They're going to be held...
Yeah.
Those are concentration camps now. And some private contractor is going to make a ton of money.
Yeah. And these poor children are going to get abused because if you know anything about the way systems work here, sexual assault is going to be rampant. We still haven't seen the girls' prison. Like... Fuck this place.
At least people are paying attention finally. Like, the one thing I'll say about this country, that's the closest thing I'll give it to a compliment, is that the system in place, the bureaucratic system in place, is one that people of color have learned to manipulate and we can push back, right? 20 years ago, it had taken
20,000 families separated, not 2,000, before people started paying attention. So in terms of giving a shit started faster than it ever has, I think, but it probably won't last very long, right? Civil rights activists were focused. They spent decades on their work. Abolitionists, same thing. We're going to be over this, like you said, next week. Next week we'll be talking about whatever.
I'm amazed it made it past Friday.
I am too.
I really am. I'm amazed it's lasted this long. I thought we'd be on to something else by now.
But you know, now is the time for the people who are still paying attention to start thinking about what they can do. And if you'll...
Action. Like, it has to be action now. Like, they don't play fair.
No.
So... This talk of everybody's like, well, you have to be the aim, they go low, we go high, is out the fucking door right now. You have to attack them. Like, not, and I'm not talking like physical attacks, but some like action, we have to do something now because it's people are getting destroyed now. We can't wait around. It's like the thing like when we had slaves and they're like, well, it would eventually change. Like, fuck that. There are slaves now. The problem is now, and we need to do what we can and as much possible to end this shit right fucking now.
In the spirit of that, there's many of these lists circulating right now about ways to help, which groups to support. I'm just going to read a couple really important ones. We'll tweet out the link later. I'm reading from a Slate article that came out like right away. Slate's been pretty good about staying on top of this. If you're the American Immigration Lawyers Association, if you're a lawyer, there's also the Catholic Legal Immigration Network. They've been working really hard on this. The Florence Project in Arizona. Races, as you already mentioned, in Texas. The Texas Civil Rights Project is looking for people who speak Spanish, Mam, Kikichi, or Quiche. These are Mayan dialects. And if you have any kind of paralegal or legal assistance, even better. Act Blue also has many of these groups aggregated under a single donation. It's just splitting the money evenly. But if you speak Spanish or any other second language, really, you know, try to contact somebody. Perhaps, you know, every state has its version of this. Races in Texas. Texas also has the Civil Rights Project. Legal Aid Justice Center in Virginia. Florence Project in Arizona, I already mentioned. El Otro Lado, which actually works on the Tijuana side, who have deported parents but children still in the U.S. trying to get them reunited. So even that. We've been splitting up families forever. Now we're just doing it in these weird cages in the way we didn't do before, but this isn't new.
No, it's not.
I'm glad everybody has realized that we're doing this, but to, you know, to that sense, like the thing that makes me afraid is that once Trump gets voted out, and I've always thought that whoever won last election was going to be a lame duck single termer.
I still think he's going to win the election.
It's possible. This country's pretty dumb, and the Democrats, will. You know, they will do their best to pull defeat from the jaws of victory every time.
I think the DNC has shown that they're going to probably pick a terrible candidate that's going to try to appease the middle when this is not the election to do that.
Well, Kamala Harris was out there last week defending the existence of ICE.
Yes, I know.
I mean, there you go.
Yeah. Like, none of these front runners are appealing to me. Like, and I don't, like, honestly, like, the poll Democratic primary, I don't give a shit. Whoever wins the nomination, you have a shot at my vote. I don't see anybody right now. I don't see anybody who I want to vote for from the Dems.
I'd vote for Ted Lieu, congressman out of California. Like his Twitter account. That's mostly why. That's mostly why. I'd consider voting for Elizabeth Warren, but she's been real comfortable in being able to talk shit and never have to prove it because she's from a solidly Democratic state and she always asks for things that we know she can't get. So she's kind of like their Rand Paul. She can just be idealistic because it comes at no, there's no cost to being idealistic to her. I'd like to see how that plays out at the national level. I regard her with side eye, but she says the right things, but I'm also pretty sick of all these Harvard bitches trying to get into the presidency.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're right. Now's the time to act. So, you know, get on Google. Find, you know, there's so many articles. CNBC has a great one. Slate, I just read. There's a bunch of events on Twitter you can look at. But your neighborhood, if you're in a border state, has somebody already helping that you can help out, even if it's just a few bucks, even if it's taking some phone calls, and especially if you speak two languages. I'm actually going to start doing this as soon as I get back from my honeymoon after July 4th. Ironically, there is a July 30th, when you're here for my wedding, there's going to be a national family separation event, and I wish I could go, but I will be in the midst of marital bliss, so hopefully, and also remembering why I don't want to have children, because some fucking American's going to take them away from me.
Yeah.
You know, your despair, Joe, and everybody's despair, like, good. You know, not to be a tragedy hipster, but some of us have been talking about this for a while. I'm glad you're paying attention. Don't stop paying attention at first opportunity, right? And don't despair if you see your friends stop paying attention. Like, we only need a handful of people. The civil rights movement, you know, only involved roughly 50% of African Americans, and 100% of them benefited. So you don't need everyone. You just need enough to get the wheels of history moving. Worst president's power rankings. Now, with all that sadness out of the way, we're going to try to have fun with this. I'm going to try to have fun with this because I'm about to drag some motherfucking heroes here. But worst president power rankings. So, like the worst state power rankings, this is not an all-time list. This is not all-time worst president. This is currently who is the worst president. So, we all have the top five. And we all, me and Joe, each have our own criteria, presumably, for determining such a thing. And the reason I want to have this conversation, well, actually, I'll make that clear in a second. Joe, do you have anything to add to that? Like, what do you, like, tell anything, give any disclaimers or heads up about what we're about to do here?
No, it's just a nice way to look at the history of America we don't talk about a lot.
Yeah, yeah, in this, in a way that sort of echoes fun sports. So for me, the presidency, one of the reasons that we're here in this moment, because the presidency has become way too important. Like, I don't need the president to be my leader. I need him to do a job I hired him to do, which is run shit. He needs to be more like the guy who lives in the apartment building. What's his name? What's the name of that job?
The landlord?
Not the landlord. That should be
supervisor.
The superintendent. The guy who just fixes shit. Yeah,
superintendent.
That should be the super. The president should basically be the super. We should all regard the president with some level of scorn. And definitely no admiration. Like, that's the person we hired you to do. Like, that's that sort of cultishness about the presidency is what drives a lot of these problems, I think, that we have.
The presidency right now is more powerful than the founding fathers ever intended. Like, ever. Really, the job of the president should be to meet foreign leaders and take them to a nice dinner. That's what they really, like, that's how it's written. And veto laws. Like, that's how it's written.
So, yes, no, agreed. And you know, my dishonorable mention this week is going to go to Harry S. Truman because...
Oh, man, he was on my list.
Oh, well, hey, we'll get to him. We'll get to him because it's his fault that we have this powerful executive branch. But I'm talking about more the cultural position of the president. Like, the president is, you know, is either worshipped or reviled, and it's ridiculous that we have this kind of relationship with an elected official. We should regard our elected officials the way we think about our lawyers. I paid you to do a job. You don't need to be a good person. You just got to be loyal to the people who hired you, you know?
Yep.
But we act like we're electing a pastor. Like, this is not, these should not wield this level of cultural authority. They should just be doing a job. They should be more like the prime minister. And sometimes I wonder if England created a king and queen to siphon all that hero worship into a empty position, and the prime minister can just be a guy who does his job and no one needs to like. Just do your job and don't ask for us to honor or commemorate you in any way. Like, just go over there and do your work. Be the manager of the country, right? You're not our moral leader. I don't need a moral leader. I don't need a leader at all. I need someone who's just going to make sure that the roads get cleaned up and the wires get put back and that Puerto Rico is rebuilt. That's what I need. I don't need someone to be a moral authority or to be this sort of hero like figure that we turn all these presidents to. So my list is built around either taking down a hero or B, like you said, history we don't talking about.
Yeah.
Bringing up somebody I think has skated historically and we don't bring it up enough when we think about the worst presidents. Because I think, like, I don't know about your list. Nixon's not on mine. Nixon got his.
Yeah, Nixon's not on my list either.
No, he sucks.
But
he's awful.
Yeah, he's the worst. He had two secret wars, right?
Yeah.
Although now I would say all our wars are secret wars because no one's paying attention.
Yeah.
But he's remembered as a slime ball. He's been revealed as a slime ball. He lost his job. He was discredited and roundly mocked. Like I think he got his, while some of these other people I don't think have gotten theirs. If you want to go, so we'll go 5-1.
Well, see, I didn't really rank mine. I just have a list of guys I want to say that they suck.
All right. Well, let's do that. Let's talk about guys that suck. And okay. Then we'll maybe come up with a list later. Maybe because we probably don't have the same exact five guys. So some people are going to get dropped from the list. So number 5. Well, okay. So you don't have number 5. So I guess I'll go with my number 5.
Oh, we could go number 5. 5's good. I can make a rank out of these guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Just pick one on the top of your head. So number 5. Yeah. So let me start by saying who's not on my list. Donald Trump is not on my list for two reasons. One, he's not done yet. Two, we'll see if he's actually a Russian spy. Probably all he did, the reason he doesn't want to give us his tax returns, is because he just took some dirty money from a Russian mob to get his business back on track. And now he's just owes them money. He just owes them a favor, right?
No, I fully buy into that he was what they used to launder money.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That he got a cut. Yeah,
I fully, that's straight up what it is. He was a Russian oligarch funneled money through Trump to make it clean.
Right. And none of that business happens without Putin getting his taste. So that's how Putin got involved. You know what I learned the other day? This is a total sidebar. I probably forgot about this. You know who we have to blame for Putin?
Who, us, that right?
fucking drunk ass Boris Yeltsin. Because,
really?
Yeah, because his first three prime ministers all were trash, and he cycled through three of them in 18 months, and then finally just like, and then Putin showed up, and he's like, all right, Putin, you can do it. And then it wasn't much longer. Yeltsin was out, and Putin was in, and here we are.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Boris Yeltsin. Well,
yeah.
You fat bastard.
So, it really is Reagan's fault.
Yeah, or maybe Gorbachev's? I don't know. Anyway, so he's not on the list. And also, like, I don't think he's actually done much. Like, a tax cut, that's typical Republican villainy. That's not getting you on any lists. And this detention stuff is awful. It's horrible. You know, if I'm being cynical, it's terrible optics. But again, that's 2,500 compared to 2.5 million, who my number 5 did, which is Barack Obama.
Okay.
Barack Obama is number 5 because that guy is achieving a legendary status he doesn't deserve, particularly among people of color. I'm just going to say this, right? He deported over 2.5 million immigrants. That is breaking the previous record holder, which is George W. Bush. But also every other president combined. And some people will try to skate and be like, well, it's not really deportation because we changed the name of the definition legally. So if you get caught at the border and are turned back at the border, that counts as a deportation. So it doesn't really count. I'm like, motherfucker, yes, it does. You're sending him back into the desert. Like, that's arguably worse. Like, if you catch someone at the border and make him turn back, you're making him go back on foot. If you get caught in Austin 2 years later, at least you get a plane ride. Then, of course, there's DACA, which was just his publicity cover. You're like, oh, we'll spare this 800,000, but we're going to keep deporting everybody else, or whatever number it was. 800,000 is probably too high. And then, of course, he's bombing 7 countries when he left. And I'm not going to try to name them all because I had this conversation with my students, and it was one I kept forgetting. But we were bombing 7 different countries when he left, and that motherfucker has a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah. He's not on my list. I might be a little biased, but I do think he deserves a big part of the blame for where we're currently at with Trump. I think he didn't do enough to make the nation aware that Trump was compromised.
Yeah.
And I think he did it because he was afraid. And I think my biggest criticism of his presidency was fear. He was always afraid. He never really took the next step that I wanted him to. Like, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have been, I'm trying to think how to say this correctly. He shouldn't have just been another Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah. Bam.
Wow. And I learned that after the first 4 years, that he talked a big game and he was never going to give us the things that he promised.
I never believed.
And we let him slide because he's a charming, nice man, but that motherfucker got away with some shit and, really, like, the loopholes that he's opened that Trump has now taken advantage of, like powers that he gave himself that we were like, that the Republicans were like, he's giving himself too much power and all this. And it's like, well, he has to because you guys are stopping him in every way. Now Trump has those powers and he didn't really think that out. Like, you can't assume that Democrats are always going to win elections. It's like the Republicans can't assume they're always going to win the elections. That's why they're pissed off that he won, but he didn't do enough. He didn't do enough to help minorities in this country. And he did too much to keep the status quo going. And the status quo is never good enough here. Like, he should have been more. We should be talking about his legacy. He shouldn't be on a top five worst presidents ranking, but he definitely deserves to be there.
I admit part of this is personal because I wanted to believe in him and he let me down so bad.
I know.
I'm Central American. Like, I feel like he attacked my community directly.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, there's a part of me that knows, like, you know, there was, I think, a third of the Latino vote went to the Republicans, you know, and Trump. And a part of me bets that some of those numbers are people whose family members were deported by Obama.
Mm-hmm. Shit, some of the kids are still detained from the Obama administration.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, and what's the thing he said about, what's the thing I said earlier about him winning the Nobel Prize? I call it the Thanks for Being a Black Award, which is not his fault. This one's not his fault, but they gave him that so they could feel good about themselves. That Nobel Prize award was given to the American voter through Barack Obama.
Obama's whole presidency was for a lot of people to feel good about themselves.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. But you know what? But that's fine. Obama could have done something good with that. Like, how many of us have been in positions that are basically tokens, and you got to do something with it, right? Whatever, however you get your opportunity, use it. But you know. Because, you know, to be fair, he did have a lot of, like, you know, white obstructionism, just racist Republicans would not let him have his way.
A level of racism that only I can think of two other men who have faced the level of racism he has. And the other, like, is Jackie Robinson and Martin Luther King.
Yeah, I would say Martin Luther King, who I'm going to talk about later, is, I would say, far beyond either of those two men, if for no other reason. Well, actually, okay, let's actually transition there because I want to talk about Lyndon Johnson, but we can get back to Lyndon Johnson. Who's on your list? You pick somebody next.
Okay, so I'll just go W.
George W. Bush?
Bro, yeah.
Yeah. He's not on mine because I feel like people were, well, actually, we're on this weird George Bush nostalgia tour, so he does belong on.
Yeah. No. No, he started the Iraq War on a lie.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's enough.
He started deportation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He founded ICE.
Yeah. He started ICE. Yeah. And 9/11 happened on his watch. As much as he wants to deflect that, it happened on his watch.
Yeah.
And Katrina. Like, Jesus Christ, Katrina.
Fuck, I forgot about Katrina.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm only putting him here because of Obama. I think their presidencies are kind of married to each other.
Yeah.
And Trump is the ugly baby of that.
Ooh. Yeah. That's true. I'm going to do my favorite analogy. George W. Bush is the first X-Men movie because he laid the ground for all this. X2 is probably the best one. The one you want to remember is probably being better than it really is. And then X3 is definitely Trump. Just doing all the old shit. And just all the old shit again, but worse this time.
He has the charisma of Obama and the willingness to lie like the Bush administration. Like, I hated the Bush administration because every day was just like, what the fuck? And Trump is that times 20.
Yeah, I mean, man, I wonder if I'm falling for it because in 2016, George W. Bush would have been on top of my list. But in the era of Trump, I think I'm falling into the trap like, well, he wasn't that bad. It's not like he is now, but he fucking was that bad.
It was bad. Every day it was a new scandal. Scooter Libby, like all these scandals, fucking Abu Ghraib, like fucking torturing people, like enhanced interrogation. Like, we've had these conversations. It's the same shit over again.
Dude, if I bought you one of his paintings, would you have it up in your wall?
I would fucking piss on it. Fuck George W. Bush.
Damn. Even the one with his little feet against the...
No, fuck that guy.
I mean, you're right. You're right. I'm just so... I'm so getting over my Barack Obama heartbreak and so in my, like, I told you this guy was trash, holier than thouness with Trump, that I just sort of lost sight of George W. Bush. Yeah. He's smartly staying out of the conversation. Although I'll tell you what, Laura Bush, in your essays about not splitting up families, you can spare me your fucking crocodile tears. You weren't giving a shit when your husband was deporting record numbers of immigrants.
Nope.
Like, you weren't saying shit then. So you can fucking spare me now. Like, I don't need to hear from you. Like, you good. Go back to telling George that he's good at watercolor. All right. So, Lyndon Johnson. I think his...
LBJ, okay.
I think LBJ is sandwiched between JFK, who's become a lionized figure. And he, you know, who knows if he deserves it or not. He got killed, so he got his, or he's a martyr. I don't really care. And then right after him is Nixon, who's like the absolute worst version of him. I think I might have a similar argument to Lyndon Johnson that you have for George W. Bush. We forget about Johnson because Nixon's right after him, the way we're forgetting about W because Trump's right after him. But he escalated Vietnam. He dragged his feet on civil rights. Some people will say that he passed the Immigration Nationality Act, which eliminated quotas, but he didn't support it. He supported the 1952 version that kept racial quotas. So if you're a certain race, you only take so many of those numbers. He lost, and he didn't want to veto it because his PR had taken so many hits that he just signed the one he didn't like. But he doesn't get credit for that. And he continued the surveillance of Martin Luther King, even though he eventually passed the Civil Rights Act. But that's because they forced him to, right?
I think anyone who kept J. Edgar Hoover in power is a piece of shit.
Fucking Edgar Hoover was using the tapes that he had of MLK's affairs, sending them to his wife, sending them to MLK, and was writing him letters urging him to commit suicide. Anybody yep. who empowers a dude like that, fuck, get the fuck out of here, LBJ.
Trash.
Fucking trash. And you escalated Vietnam, you can get the fuck out of here. Lyndon Johnson, yeah. Pack your bags, man. Because he skated. He has skated. I don't think we remember him for being a fucking piece of shit, but he was.
He was. And also, showed his dick to anybody in the White House.
What?
Like a weird... Yeah, LBJ is famous for having an enormous penis, and he would just pull it out all the time in the White House.
What? I know he had this intimidating mythos about him, like he could talk anybody in private to doing anything they wanted, but if he's taking
it... Because he was showing his dick.
If he's taking his dick out, that does explain... Yeah. Dude, I didn't fucking know that.
Yeah.
Lyndon Johnson, man, get the fuck out of here, man. Alright, so who you got? Who else is on yours?
So... This spot was where I had Truman.
Okay.
Who we've already touched on. But yeah, this is where I had Truman. I think Hiroshima and Nagasaki are enough.
At least Nagasaki. I might agree to disagree on the first bomb, but not the second one.
I don't think the first bomb was needed. Like, most people thought the war was coming to a natural end and that the Japanese were going to surrender.
The counter argument is always that we were going to have to invade Japan. I don't know why. Like, I'm not a WW2 historian. Like, we chased them out of everywhere already. Why are we?
Yeah.
And you said about how strong the presidency is. All these weird powers that the president has to enact violence around the globe comes from Truman and the bomb and the Cold War, because we couldn't have Congress wait to decide whether or not to send a retaliatory strike if nukes were coming to us. So the presidency has the ability to use nukes, because the argument is that, you know, in the 20 minutes it takes for the nukes to reach us, we don't have time for a vote. Somebody's just got to do it or not do it. But that's a problem we created. So, like, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to give anybody, like, a pass on that. Like, oh, what are you going to do? Like, well, you shouldn't have fucking made the apocalypse weapon then. Like, I don't know.
But yeah, fuck Harry Truman.
Oh, dude, should I use MSI for the theme song?
Go for it, yeah. I like that.
That might be it.
It's a good song.
That might be it. Harry Truman! Ow! Shuffle the deck for me! Shuffle the deck for me! Man, shuffle the deck for me! It's easy to bitch about the 20th century. The weird fun of this is getting into some old history. So do we want to go with somebody? I'll let you pick. I have three left, but I'm going to save my number one for the last.
Okay.
Do we want to go laughably incompetent or historically horrible?
Laughable. Let's get a laugh.
All right. Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, man.
Is he on yours?
No. I left him out off on purpose, because there's now like a revision. Like, I don't know if you follow Jamel Bowie on Twitter. Like, he's a big Grant's a misunderstood president fan.
Oh, he would. That's why. That's why I don't follow Bowie, because he says shit like that. Like, does he belong on this list? Maybe not. I just find them funny because his reputation that he was kind of an oaf. He's just a former general who got elected because of his name, because he was the head general of the Union, and he got elected. And he's just, his administration was just the most corrupt bunch of jokers. His vice president, Schuyler Colfax, was, and House, and the House Speaker James Garfield, were both bribed by a dummy corporation, a dummy corporation that was a construction company that defrauded the government out of millions for phony construction contracts. His brother-in-law tried to cheat the gold market and created a recession, but he skated and actually made money. Let's see, hold on. That was called Black Friday. I don't know. I don't remember why it's called Friday, but whatever. But yeah, created a recession. The whiskey ring. This one's great. His treasury secretary, his name was Bristow, accepted bribes to get around liquor taxes at the time because liquor taxes were really high because that's how they were paying for the war. And his administration, the bribery was so rampant. 100 members of his bureaucracy were convicted, except his personal secretary, who he protected, who apparently was dirty as fuck. And Secretary of War, and the Secretary of War, which we still call Secretary of War back then. Now we call it Secretary of State. Same thing. Secretary of War Belknap, he accepted bribes to allow people to trade with the American reservations because they're technically different countries and there should have been tariffs. But he was like, nah, just kick some up to me. So it was just the most bribing ass administration. It was called Grantism for decades. It was so crooked. And apparently Grant mostly was just this affable dummy who had warring sides of his cabinet, and he would just listen to both of them because he was just a dum-dum. Like Trump, if Trump didn't believe in himself, is the profile I got from my Googling today.
Okay. All right. Well, then I'm going to stay with the guy right before him, Andrew Johnson.
I almost went Andrew Johnson.
Well, Andrew Johnson is widely recognized by many people as the worst president of all time.
Let's hear it. What's his rap sheet?
So, first off, he was not elected.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
He was, he replaced Lincoln after Lincoln was killed. And I'm about to drop a conspiracy for you.
Oh,
I think he was in on it.
Woo!
So, Andrew Johnson was a senator from a Confederate state.
What?
He ran on Lincoln's ticket that year as vice president, and then Lincoln was killed, and now Confederate Senator Andrew Johnson is the president of the United States after the Civil War.
Bro, that's crazy.
Andrew Johnson told all the Southern states not to ratify the 14th Amendment.
I knew that.
He also passed black codes designed to oppress the slaves. And he holds the title of being the first president impeached by the House.
That's right. Impeached by the House. That's right. That's how I knew him. The other one was Nixon.
Yeah.
Clinton. Clinton. That's right. That's right. Nixon skated. As they say that he resigned. Yeah, Andrew Johnson's a great choice. I didn't know that about him being a Confederate state senator. That's crazy. I'll tell you this.
He stuck with the Union.
Ulysses S. Grant owned one slave and freed him. So, I don't know, 0.4?
Nah, I don't know. You own a slave, fuck you.
I think it was inherited. I just saw that people speak of it. No?
No. You own a slave, fuck you.
I wonder, I mean, you're right, but I wonder at what point, like, does doing the right thing downgrade you from fuck you to fuck off?
Enough people then knew slavery was wrong, you know?
Man, I really want to jump to my number one. but I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait.
We're on two now, right? Let's go two.
Two. You start us off.
All right, FDR.
FDR, great choice. He's almost on mine.
Fuck FDR.
Because somebody who needs their rep taken down a notch. Talk about needing to take it on, Pitt. Fucking,
yes.
Fucking redlining.
Yeah. Let's start with the biggie. Internment.
Yep.
Let's just move on. We know how awful that was.
Yep. FDR
was a racist who was against anti-lynching law. Hold on.
Let's take one step back. I want to make sure people understand the term is. During World War II, because something you'd be surprised if people don't know. During World War II, we incarcerated, I think it was 200,000 Japanese and Japanese Americans, two-thirds of them American citizens. They lost all their property. They got moved into concentration camps. They were there for the duration of the war. You are allowed to get out if you agreed to sign up for the draft, which is why we get the 442nd and Mr. Miyagi. Karate Kid, weirdly, a weird touchstone for this season of our pod. But, and then, of course, and then they were dispersed throughout the country. That's the thing that people forget. They didn't go home afterwards. Their homes were taken from them. They were dispersed across the country after that. So it's not like we restored them to where they were. And I think it's important to remember, considering where we are now, a lot of these families aren't getting restored. We don't do that. Just like those families weren't restored to their homes, a lot of these children aren't getting restored to their parents.
They're going to grow up in the system.
Continue, man.
I do want to add two more things on internment that I did have noted here. One, the Supreme Court upheld it because the Supreme Court has always been trash.
Yeah.
And two, did you know the theory that FDR knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen?
I've heard that theory.
If so, it's even worse. Internment's even worse now if he knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen.
Ooh, yeah, good point.
Because at that time, the U.S. did not go into the war. We also denied Jewish asylum seekers coming over here.
Yep.
Trying to avoid the Holocaust.
Yeah, a lot of them ended up in Auschwitz.
Yep. And back then, you had to go to Congress if you wanted to go to war. So even if he wanted to go to war, he couldn't.
Those were the days.
But yeah, but he didn't really try to, and he let Pearl Harbor happen so we could go to war.
Right, so which would mean he also knew that if he knew it was coming, then he probably knew enough to know that there weren't any Japanese-American saboteurs, but locked them up anyway.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He was also, at the time, against anti-lynching laws. Gross. Because he said he refused on the grounds that the racist Southern Democrats would stop supporting him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Talk about classic Democrat right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So he's against anti-lynching laws. So fuck FDR.
Hey,
he also broke the sort of unwritten rule about running for a third term.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. I think also, you know what's a crazy FDR link that I have? In the sort of associative network of my memories and synapses,
mm-hmm.
NWA. Because in NWA, and what's that first single? The very first one. The one that got them all the hype right
away. Straight Out of Compton?
That's the one, Straight Out of Compton.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to remember that. I say that because I taught that song when I did a hip-hop class a few years back. And in it, I didn't remember this, in the video, they have redlining. They're talking about redlining visually through codes. And my students ask about that. Like, oh, that's a middle finger to FDR. And in any situation you're picking between FDR and Ice Cube, I'm rolling with Cube.
Yeah, I'm riding with Cube.
Like Killer Mike, I still spell America with a triple K.
All right, who's your number two?
Andrew Jackson.
Oh, all right, cool. I can take him off my list.
The Butcher.
Yeah.
So here's what I didn't know about Andrew Jackson. But I found out today. So he's the original guy who won the popular vote but didn't win the election, didn't get enough electoral votes. But nobody did. So a mechanism that has never happened in the 1820 election, which is if no one wins a majority of electoral votes, the House votes. And Jackson lost. So his supporters founded a new party for the 1824 election that ultimately got him elected. Do you know what that party is?
Which party?
The Democratic Party. The first president elected by the Democratic Party was the guy who presided over the Trail of Tears. And for those of you who don't know the Trail of Tears is, that administration passed the Indian Removal Act, which if anybody's listening from Palestine, like, pay attention because this is happening to you. They just moved them. All the Indians had to leave big chunks of farmable land in Georgia, Florida, and Mississippi. And they had to walk their asses to Oklahoma. So not only are you have to walk, but you're going to fucking Oklahoma. One of the goddamn worst places. The Cherokee were forced to leave Georgia. 4,000 of them died on the walk. And the reason they had to move is because their land had gold on it. So they were forced to leave. The Creek Seminoles from Florida lost 3,000 people. The Chickasaws and the Choctaws who were from Mississippi
lost 10,000 almost. We're talking almost 17,000 people dying, walking to Oklahoma, and we just left their bodies in the sun to rot. Like, we didn't give a fuck about them. And that was Andrew Jackson, because that dude was a fucking butcher. He also allowed, this is a piece of a war, allowed the South to censor anti-slavery literature. He was the original, you know how, especially Trump was just like, they're just trying to divide us. That line of rhetoric apparently comes from Andrew Jackson. That was his big thing. You can't bring up slavery, you're just trying to divide us.
Trump's a big Jackson fan too.
Of course he is. Of course he is. And what's funny though about Andrew Jackson is he didn't believe in paper money. He thought it was fake. He would only deal with gold. He wanted to be gold standard, hardcore. Hated that we invented paper money, right? He was super against it. So I don't know who chose to put him on the 20, but I feel like it's a historical troll. Because that's hilarious. But other than that, like, I can't believe that motherfucker's on our money.
Yeah. We tried to remove him.
We gotta get back on that. We gotta get back on fuck Andrew Jackson train. Let's get Harriet Tubman on there. All right, who's your number two?
We did mine. Mine was FDR.
Oh, that's right. You're number one. Oh, yeah. Number one. Here we go. Drum roll.
My number one's a bit of a joke.
All right.
It's William Henry Harrison.
No, he's like, he was, I was going to give him an honorable mention.
No. He died.
For those who don't know, William Henry Harrison is the guy who refused to wear a coat at his inauguration, caught pneumonia, and promptly died.
Yeah.
He was in office 30 days. But for me, he's my favorite because he didn't hurt nobody.
He has no legacy. What's his legacy?
Not hurting anyone.
That's true.
Yeah. That's like Lincoln level not doing anything.
Yeah. I will say, when I was a kid, William Henry Harrison was my favorite president, because when I was learning the presidents and I saw how long his run was, I just got obsessed with him. But no, he's the worst president. He only did 30 days.
Oh, man, that's why he's the best on my list, but fair enough. All right, I'm going to go number one. So I opened with something of a troll. I admit it. I'm closing with a bigger troll. So my whole point has been, people who have skated their historical legacy, people who probably don't deserve the reputation they have. And what I mostly hate is this mythological worship of the office of the presidency, like it's some glorious honor, like he's the top American, when it's usually just some ambitious asshole. So I went after the source of the problem. So my number one is George motherfucking Washington.
Oh, he was on my list too.
Because George
Moses, I thought you would go Jefferson.
Fuck no. Jefferson gets historically dragged. Everybody knows about fucking Jefferson. So people re-remote him for the fraudulent motherfucker he was, right? And then, of course, and now we have Hamilton, which is like, takes Jefferson down a couple pegs, makes fun of him a lot. But they don't do that to Washington. Washington gets left mostly unscathed. Like, I think there's like one line about his slaves. But no, there isn't, because that line got removed. And you know, Hamilton did it because, you know, you have to see Hamilton. We can talk about it another time, but they have this very particular vision of immigrant America, and they don't want to distract us with criticism about George Washington. They have them on the Outtakes album. There's a whole song there's a whole verse that sort of excoriates him for being a slave owner. But he's on mine because he's a fucking slave owner, and I got a quarter, and
brutal one at that.
And I got a quarter here. You know how old that guy was when he got his first slaves?
How old?
11. He'd been a slave owner since he was 11 years old. He had 317 slaves. He owned half of them. The rest were either leases or what were called dower slaves, which were like inherited slaves. Yeah, those were all at Mount Vernon. He was known for being brutal. And, you know, but what's funny, to bring this back around, right? He had one thing. I'm not giving him any fucking credit, but I do want to point out this thing. In 1978, he stopped selling slaves. He stopped. He would purchase, but he wouldn't sell. You know why?
Why?
Not to break up families.
Oh.
Yeah.
What a hero.
Right? What a fucking hero. Fuck that douchebag. And I don't know, he seems like a mediocre military leader. I mean, what's his name? The French dude was the guy who really won that war for us. Lafayette.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, you can't, he's the sacred cow. You can't criticize him. You can't bring him up. Even like where I work, every once people bring up Washington in some euphemistic tone, I'm like, I'm not part of this group. I'm not on board with Washington. And they'll be like, what? No. What? How can you not like Washington? He gave up his power for free. Like, nice. Thanks. Thanks, I guess. You know?
We also, also, like, back then, this guy had been through a lot of war. We don't know how many concussions this guy had. We don't know how much he still had going on up there.
Right, right. I don't know. I don't know if he's to blame. I think he sort of knew that presidents can become heroes and mythological figures, which is why he retired, as opposed to just being president forever.
Yeah.
But, so I'll give him credit for that, I guess. But this is the source of the problem, right? We can't treat our presidents like this. We got to stop electing, like electing a pastor. We got to start thinking of these as just a dude we hired.
Yeah.
We got to start looking at them as leaders.
It's tough because I think it really just the way we consume media and news, like we need that narrative. Like our brains are too primitive to see something without a hero narrative to it, you know?
Motherfucker, I don't need that shit.
I don't either, but like I just think like just we as people we need that still sort of. We haven't evolved past that yet, I guess.
Yeah. I don't like, to quote Daniel Tosh, I don't like that it's still not okay to talk shit about the founding fathers. Motherfuckers are slave owners who didn't want women or poor people to vote.
Look, the real answer to who's the worst president is all of them because they're all trash.
I don't know, man. I'll stand for William Henry Harrison. He didn't do shit. All right, national anthems.
Okay.
What are your picks? We've got to make this kind of quick because I got to roll here pretty soon to go see Hereditary.
Yeah.
All right, so national anthem, for the history of it, it started becoming the national anthem because Woodrow Wilson, Democratic president, started using it as the official military anthem, which is where it got its first sort of heyday. And then it got so popular with the Senate that eventually, I forget which president, maybe it was Hoover. No, it wasn't Hoover. Forget which president. The one that succeeds Wilson. It doesn't matter who it was. He's the one who actually signs it into law. Which I think is funny to me that all these Republicans keep standing for a song that was essentially chosen by a Democratic president. But they obviously don't know that. I can't expect a Republican to know history.
Yeah.
And there's that. Another reason we're talking about changing the national anthem. So here's why I want to change it.
Because it's a trash ass song.
It's a fucking trash song. You never fucking hum that song in the shower. That song sucks.
No. It has no melody. Like, it's fucking garbage.
And it's about, and it's an ode to war, which is like gross. You know? The third verse talks about killing slaves in it. Like, it's a disgusting song. It doesn't even sound nice. It just sounds like trash.
Ugh. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, it's a terrible song.
It's a terrible fucking song.
Yeah.
And on top of all those things, you know, on top of all that, it replaced what my top choice is, at least one of my two choices. The customary song was America the Beautiful for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it wasn't official. That's just the one people chose. And America the Beautiful, at least it's not an ode to war. It's about how pretty it is here, you know? And it mentions God a lot. The Christians will like that.
Yeah, it's a better song.
Yeah, and it's pretty.
Like just in terms of as a song, like it sounds better. It's more. It's a better song. Like it's hilarious that we use our best musicians in front of sporting events to sing just the most trash that like just awful song. Like would you rather hear Whitney Houston sing "America the Beautiful"
than the Star
Spangled Banner? Banner?
Fuck like, what the hell? It mentions pilgrims, which can be understood both in religious context, but also as an immigrant context. It does mention what it mentions whiteness a lot. You know, you're going to like that shit.
Yeah. See, America the Beautiful, that's my choice for what I think the anthem should be.
Yeah.
Or even My Country Tis of Thee is better than the Star Spangled Banner.
It's a trash song, though, too. Like, just the melody is garbage. I'll say this about what you just said about how it should be a song. It's an ode to how beautiful the country is and stuff like that.
Mm.
You know who has a randomly awesome national anthem? And I know this because of Christina. Slovenia.
Really?
Slovenia's narrative of their song is basically, hey, everywhere's pretty cool. It's pretty cool here too. Why don't we all just be friends and have some vodka and fucking relax? They actually mentioned taking a shot in the song. And given that they are part of war-torn Yugoslavia with all their fucking crazy genocidal bullshit, and they chose to have a song like everybody fucking calm down and have a beer. Like, that's an awesome national anthem.
Like, that's what you want to tell people about your character? Man, I want to hang out with Slovenia.
That's a good one.
But our song is about how good we are at orchestrated murder. Like, Paz, I don't want to hang out with you.
I'm good.
Well, to be fair, we're really good at orchestrated murder.
That's true. It is accurate representation of who we are.
Oh, man. We are bloodthirsty.
All right. What's your second choice? So we only have, because we're going to put this up on a Twitter poll, and we're going to pin it, and we're going to have, you know, our followers decide what they think it should be. Maybe D can be, you know, maybe they can also offer alternatives, you know. But we have America the Beautiful, right?
Yeah, and I said My Country Tis of Thee.
And My Country Tis of Thee?
Yeah.
Okay, those are your two?
Yeah, and I had a third one, but I'm not sure I want to give this one up. But I think the most beautiful song made about America is Lift Every Voice and Sing.
Ooh.
But I don't want to give that one away because it's ours, you know? But as an anthem, I think it would be a great song, but it's like it's our anthem.
Man, they're never going to pick a black song.
I don't want to give that one away, but it's just a great song.
Yeah, yeah, that is a great song. We're going to put it on the poll.
Yeah.
All right, mine's out of left field. I got one out of left field one.
Okay.
Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song. What is more American than a British rock group appropriating black music?
Yeah.
You enshrine immigrants into the narrative. The song is about Norse immigrants who come over and conquer. So you get your conquer narrative and your whiteness narrative. It's got something for everybody. And in terms of musicality, it's the best song on the list.
Yeah. All right. That's a good choice. I don't know if it plays right now.
Man, now's the moment for it. Did you see Thor Ragnarok? Now's the time.
We're ready for it.
We're ready for the immigrant song. All right, man. I'm going to go see Hereditary now.
All right, man. Please text me after that movie.
All right, you got it, buddy.
All right, man.